And everybody joked on those electric turbos for, what, okay, those 5 years ago? No, I know, but we're not that far away from the technology actually being able to spool those fast enough to make them viable.
Make it work. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but everybody's hated on them for so long, I don't know if anybody's ever going to do it. Because they're like, oh, yeah, you're going to make a plug-in electric turbo, huh? You bet.
It's going to take a long time for this tech to trickle down to your average no-prep drag guy.
Right, right, right.
Let's put
it
that way.
Most of those guys spool their turbos with nitrous.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool thing to say. What do you got that bottle for? You running nitrous? No. I just spool with it. Yeah.
Pretty cool. Oh, look at that. That is the best noise you could have done.
He got it.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, I was looking for off-road news is what got me to this conversation.
So do you want me to start?
Yeah, if you've got some off-road news, let's do it.
I'm going to share screen on it too, because I think that's the best way to present this. So this, and you can share your screen with Mike.
I have to, right?
You can just bring my computer one of these days.
You want to know? I have your computer right here.
Are you kidding
me? Look at that.
Well, here we go.
I still need it, but here, just in case you need it too.
Yeah, I'm just going to.
Here comes when Mike turns his microphone off.
I don't think.
Or on. It's probably dead.
No, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I did it. I tried.
All right. So.
Oh, man.
Okay. What?
Great.
This is what I see as quite possibly the stupidest idea. It has to be one of the stupidest ideas I have ever seen, and I will be thoroughly impressed if a normal person ever buys one of these.
Okay.
I'm not talking like an influencer or anything like that. Like a normal person would buy one of these.
All right. You sure? Oh, there it is. All right.
It's one tire.
Nissan unveils Project Trail Gator, built for overlanding sport enthusiast.
Okay.
Which sport?
It has two 42-inch TVs.
Hold on. It is for the overlanding and sport enthusiast.
Yeah.
Not overlanding sport.
Mm-hmm.
I see. It does read for Colin's, to his point.
I read it
word for word. Yeah, but that's not right. They missed some punctuation.
This has two 42-inch TVs on the rack the bed.
Yeah.
And it has a overlandy built out
refrigerator,
truck,
drawer,
bed area with a grill. Of course, because tailgating,
sports
on there, and wait till you see the rest of this, because
that's not the bad part.
No, it's only downhill from the very start. Whatever on the
wait a minute, is that a like a Blackstone or is that a barbecue?
Next grill, I don't know it.
If they open it, if it's a flat top, then I'm back in.
I think it is. I think it is a flat top.
I mean, I don't know. I'm back in. I think
so.
I'm still out on the TVs, but
okay. So four door truck.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
It has two seats.
Good.
Oh, that's not enough.
Because
where are your sports buddies going
to
go?
Exactly. You have to go there with only one person. Because the back.
Oh, it's all batteries.
Has three giant batteries that are, it says it in here, where'd it go? I can't find it now. God damn it. I read it and I was like, oh, here we go. Has a battery bank of three 320 amp hour batteries.
1500 watt inverter and a 40 amp DC-DC charger.
Running two TVs on something like that, you get what? Four days? Why do you need... what else
lot.
Are you doing? Yeah,
I don't know. So what's three times three?
Yeah.
That's nine.
Nine.
Yes.
Okay. And then plus the 20s.
Six. 90, okay. 960.
960 amp hours. Or no, not even. That'd be 9,600 amp hours, right? No.
No.
Never mind. 900. So almost 1,000
more
amp
than
hours.
Four.
Yep.
almost 1,000 amp hours.
With a 40 amp maximum, right? Based on
output.
40 amp DC-DC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 1,500 watt inverter. Because the TVs are, that's a wattage thing that it has to have.
Yeah.
You know, wattage to turn on or what have you. But it's got two TVs hanging off the side of it. Like, what?
That's the whole point of the batteries, is just for those TVs.
It's just the TVs,
and
really.
The fridge.
Right, but the fridge could go on one of those 320 amp hour batteries for 320 amp hours. Like,
you could make ice cream.
I've got a 100 amp hour battery, and I can go like 4 days. Like, if it's not crazy hot,
yeah,
I can do like 4 days before it needs to charge.
We wired my batteries in backwards, so I never charge the secondary battery that the refrigerator is running off of for like multiple weekends of camping.
Exactly.
And I never noticed.
Mm-hmm.
It just slowly worked its way down, and I was like, that's odd. It doesn't charge up while I'm driving.
Well, don't worry, because if that 320 amp hour times three battery isn't enough, it's got solar capability.
Oh, good.
So, you know.
Got to keep those things topped up.
Got to be able to keep those topped up.
Yeah, green energy.
But yeah, so there's just a giant box in the back seat, as you can see from the door being opened here, of all of the crap that it has to run, essentially. And then next to the giant box is these giant batteries.
So you're sitting in there listening to this inverter run, getting cooked by your batteries, while you don't have friends at your tailgate.
Well, your friends have to take a different car.
Well, but it has to be off-road capable if you're going to be taking that thing.
If you're going to tailgate it.
Yeah.
I mean, not that off-road capable, first off. And then secondly,
it's basically...
You and one buddy could watch two different things.
Right. I wonder if it's got the capabilities.
You could bring your Xbox and play on different screens against each other.
Nobody's cheating.
You wouldn't
screen
peek that way.
That might be fun.
My question is... Off-road capable, sports TVs.
It's as off-road capable as your generic Pro 4X, with more weight.
That's what they're advertising. How do you get the signal? Are you going...
It's got Starlink.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense.
All right, well. I was like, if you're going out into the woods and then you just don't have service to use these TVs...
Yeah, it's got a Starlink on the same pull-out drawer that your grill is on. So
flat tops and Starlink. I don't think I'd pay money for that.
Well, that's not the game we're playing. my point was this is a stupid gimmick idea, and like I said, I don't think that any normal person is going to buy that.
Somebody's uncle's gonna get it. I don't know that. Yeah,
that's got to be a concept. That's not something they're actually selling.
Excuse me?
Is it? Are they really selling it? Oh, my God.
No.
Goes on sale. What does it say?
It says right here.
I can't read. It's my screen's
set
about this
to
big.
Debut at SEMA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it's a collaboration with Power Nation TV, Music City Trucks. And it was some fucking show that they did to show that this was what they were going to do. Where'd it say? If I can find it all.
Somebody's rich uncle will buy it.
I
don't want him to. I don't think it's a good idea.
So maybe this one is going to be for sale, but they're not like, you can't just go to the dealership and be like, hey, I want a
Probably not the dealership, but Music City Trucks maybe offers it as
a package.
Yeah, I don't
know. It's Project Trailgator will be one of 5 Nissan custom builds displayed at the show. Okay. So.
They're
the way they are wording this initially is that this is some package, and then they like rehash that. They walk that back and say, oh no, this is somebody else's build that we're going to feature at our thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just don't get it.
It's, you know, it's mixing two things that don't exactly go together. And I don't like it. So
we've talked about, like, with SEMA, like the good and bad of the builds that you see there. Mm-hmm. This is the bad kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably done fine because it's, you know, whatever a reputable, I assume, place doing it. But it's a silly concept, and it's just one of those things, like, it's designed to make sports bro see it and say, oh, cool, Frontiers are cool. I didn't realize that. Which is crazy to me, but whatever.
It just mix in two things that are both like, oh, yeah, people who like to tailgate like grills, and then people who like to off-road like grills. Let's just put them both together. Like, what? I breathe air and you breathe air, so we should live in the same house.
Well, I think a lot of it is that this company probably got given a Frontier to do whatever the hell they wanted to it. And they were like, hey, let's do this because it's obnoxious.
They pimped my ride.
Exactly. I was going to say, hey, Exhibit
there
just let
there weren't enough
him...
TV screens in the back of
Exhibit
that truck.
Exhibit just dropped a song. And so they probably got.
Speaking of Pimp My Ride, we haven't talked about this. Have either one of you guys seen the Mark Zuckerberg creation?
No.
Oh boy. Okay. I guess I can do a screen share in this scenario, or you can just Google it.
Did somebody pimp Mark Zuckerberg?
Well, so I saw an article on a website that I'm not going to call out because I don't remember what it was, and it said that Mark Zuckerberg had a custom Cayenne GT built.
Yes.
And
I did see something about that.
They implied that he ordered it this way. Porsche does like special wish stuff that for like sultans and crazy things like that. If you bought enough cars, they'll like put a GT3 engine in a convertible or something. Mm-hmm. But they don't necessarily like build bespoke cars. It read like that was what it was. I read another article and some following articles that kind of said that that's not it at all. West Coast Customs stretched a Cayenne GT and put sliding side doors on it, mm-hmm. and made it a minivan for Mark Zuckerberg's wife.
Oh.
And there's, to me, the concept of this, aside from him being who he is and everybody not liking him, and that's fine. It's the idea in my head I saw the picture, I went, that could be kind of interesting. Maybe it's like a little bit longer. Then I saw the picture and I just went, they just did a West Coast Customs Pimp My Ride on a brand new $200,000 super SUV. That's what happened here. And also, I was listening to another podcast that pointed out, no one wants this.
No.
This doesn't exist because no one wants it. I don't guarantee you. My assumption is Mark Zuckerberg's
guarantee
wife
it, Sean.
Says, honey, you know, I've been thinking I might want a minivan because this SUV that we're driving, a Cullinan or whatever the hell she's got now, she's not quite big enough. I just need some more space. And instead of buying her a fucking minivan, because that's probably what she wanted with, you know, like a nice screens on the back of the thing and like room and
Toyota Sienna,
economical all these things. Mm-hmm. He decides, let me take this stiff ass Porsche SUV, extend it by 2 feet, put sliding doors on it so it's got no headroom still, gets hung up on everything you drive over.
Also doesn't have a trunk.
No trunk.
Like you
because
would
it's
in
also,
a minivan.
It's a coupe style one. It's not the regular one. So it has a swoopy back. So less. It's just like the worst of everything. And
at least there's not like a fish tank in it.
Hey, honey, come look how much money I spent.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
I thought that.
It could have been more Pimp My Ride.
Yeah.
I mean.
The commentary from the other podcast really got me. Your wife asks for a minivan, and you're so into yourself that this is what you buy her.
Yeah.
I can pretty much guarantee she didn't say, man, I really wish I could buy a super fast Porsche SUV, but also have sliding doors.
But also it'd be bigger than it should be. Yeah.
With that stretched wheelbase, it's going to...
Oh, God, I can't even imagine. And the other comment was like, those have like active rear steer. You think anybody's figured out the programming to make that work with an extra 2 feet of wheelbase?
Well, you know. Why not?
I don't know.
There's fine. No way. I can't think of a single thing that could go wrong.
No, nothing.
That.
I can't imagine that it's wavy or creaky or anything like that.
It just crab walks everywhere.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah. Drives like a normal, unmodified Cayenne.
Toyota Sienna?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sienna is a very nice choice when you're looking at this. Pacifica would be a really good choice too, but you know. Whatever. Pretty dumb. Other new vehicle news I was just reading, and there's no pictures to go along with it, but today is Wednesday the 23rd. Tomorrow, Thursday, is the Scout re-release. So, you know, Volkswagen owns Scout, and they relaunched it, and they are supposed to debut their concepts tomorrow. And the CEO said in an interview or something today, or maybe it was a press release, I didn't really read that far. I read like half the article. That you should not expect a jelly bean shaped electric vehicle. This will be a body on frame off-roader, which is kind of cool. So we'll see. I wonder if there's a tie in there, because, you know, Volkswagen put a pretty big share into Rivian. I wonder if there's any, those aren't body on frame. So I don't know. I could be just reaching out into the ether for this, but I don't know. Could be some interesting crossover there.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, it does, everything I'm seeing here does allude to it's their EV announcement.
It is their only EV.
It's EV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the drawing looks Rivian.
Yeah.
That's what I was, it looks very Rivian-y.
there's definitely some design elements that transfer right over.
Oh, look, there's an ad for a Rivian right there at the bottom of this article.
That's great. So, yeah, we're going to see. That'll be an interesting one to check out.
I mean, if it works out well, then Rivian will have a longer stay.
Yeah.
Because they're having some woes again, but it seems like it's like a constant with them.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, startup.
Yeah.
Auto manufacturer. Like, what do you?
Tech company, auto manufacturer.
I'm sure
combo.
That the Grenadier will have the same, or has had this, because we talked about that. They've had a couple of.
They had to stop
issues
production
as well. So for it's a like while. It's just, you know, they're not, they are not Ford.
No.
So,
my neighbor drove the Cybertruck and then the new Chevy EV thing back to back.
Is he just looking for bad options?
The new Hummer?
No, the Silverado EV.
Which is a Hummer with a Silverado body, but also kind of looks like an Avalanche.
Mm. Yeah, it's Avalanche, which he thought
that's what we need.
He
more
was
Avalanches.
Cool. Man. But he was driving them back to back. He's trying to find, he works in construction and drives a Tesla currently, and he wants that, but with a truck bed so he could keep working in construction. Rivian. Well, that's what I told him.
or a Lightning?
But he didn't like it. And he
because it wasn't
doesn't
stupid
just like
enough
lightning.
Looking. Sorry.
He prefers it to look like a
Cybertruck. I really
cyber
like
truck.
This guy. He's super nice, everybody.
He's just got bad taste. That's fine.
But he drove the Chevy, and he said, driving it back to back with the Cybertruck and then the Chevrolet.
Hold on. I know you want to get to your point, but I want to say something before I say it in like afterwards and sound like an asshole.
No, say it. So I'm going to say mine first, then you'd be an asshole.
We're leading into
that.
I feel like we're going to
at the same time.
We're going to lead into Leaf Springs Ride Better or Solid Axle Rides Better. This is where we're going.
No.
And go.
There's neither of the what?
I'm going to make a parallel if we
Okay,
I'm sorry.
We're just going to drive by the side of this. Come on.
All right, go on.
Continue.
Did you lose your train of thought? I don't think I'm going to do it anymore.
Oh, no.
No, he said that after driving both of them, the Cybertruck is lighter, but not a ton lighter than the Chevrolet. But the Chevy felt dangerous. He said every time he put his foot down, it had a ton of torque steer in the front, and it would move the truck back and forth. He said he was using the entirety of the lane just by gunning it on the highway. And he was really surprised with how his Tesla and that high-end Chevy Silverado he was driving have like almost the same 0 to 60 time. His Tesla's a little faster because he doesn't have like the super hyped up one.
Sure, the Plaid.
But he said in that Chevy, it felt like it was trying to kill him. It felt like it was insane, and he didn't like it, and he felt really uncomfortable driving it. So, he also said it felt way too big for what it was. It wasn't super big comparative to a regular truck. And he drove a Dodge 1500 forever until he got into electric cars. So it's not like he's never driven big trucks before, but he's just like everything about it felt wrong in his opinion. And he said he liked everything inside the Cybertruck and then hated looking at it.
God, they're bad. Also, it's funny that he would. I haven't driven either one of these, so I'm just going to go off things that I've heard.
You prefer Leaf Springs?
Yeah, definitely. Uh-huh. With solid axles, always. It's funny that someone would find, I feel like, the ride or like steering in a Chevy, a Silverado EV, that's what it is, sketchy when it has a physical connection and
really?
A Cybertruck does not.
Huh. I didn't know it had a physical connection. I thought it had...
Cybertruck is the only vehicle on sale that has drive-by-wire steering.
Oh, really?
Because they're the only people that have figured out that they can self-certify that that's okay.
So, looks good from here.
But I have heard that low-speed Cybertruck, once you get used to it, is pretty cool, but it's very, very, very twitchy.
Really?
That's what I've heard. So that's kind of like, I was like, interesting. I obviously am not in the market for either one of those. I think that I would probably buy a Lightning, and I have driven a Lightning, and I think Lightnings feel really heavy, and they're kind of like, I don't know, kind of floppy when R1Ts are not. R1Ts ride really nice, so I don't know. But I wouldn't, like, if I was in construction, right, and I wanted a pickup bed, Rivian's probably not going to do it. It's a tiny little bed.
That was the only thing. He said that the Rivian bed is
too small.
Not
exactly a full-size truck. It's closer to a mid-size, I guess.
For me, like, if I wanted to use something to, like, go to the dump or whatever and, like, daily drive, R1T's great. I think that's perfect for most people. I don't know that a Cybertruck bed is going to be that much more useful, though, because they're that goofy-ass size with the fucking tonneau cover
and
thing.
The triangles on the sides, so you can't have anything out past it. Yeah.
It's, yeah. They're just, we've gone over this at length. I don't understand why you would buy one of those unless you just want to say, I own one.
Yeah.
There's no, like, the interior.
It's a fancy watch.
It's not even, fancy watches are nice. They look nice. They're built nicely.
But
the fancier watch is going to be more precision made, not less precision made.
Yeah, but it'll still tell you the same time as this digital.
Sure. And that is a car in general thing, right? Like, as car guys, we have that problem, right? Like, there's nothing that a brand new Rubicon JL won't, my vehicle will not do it, or will do everything. Sorry. It will do everything my vehicle will do and more, more comfortably, blah, 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 blah. I like mine, right?
Yeah.
But I just look at, like, those and I just go, man, that is a statement piece.
Yep. Yeah.
It just feels like a statement. And I think I know what you're talking about. He's a nice guy. So I, like,
I know.
No doubt to get about that. That's fine.
I just wanted to start that. So
but he
knew,
still
so
has bad taste.
he's been hauling plywood in his Tesla, and it's hilarious.
Heck yeah. Good for him. That's a better option. You just put plywood on the roof of your Model Y. Good. Good to go. What was that? So quiet.
The volume's real low on your Dahuki. Nice guy. He's a nice guy.
Oh, nice guy. Okay, good. Got it.
Ooh. Glad we made it.
Good thing we stopped for that.
That's probably my favorite new segment. But yeah, so I don't think that there's any electric pickup truck that I'm very excited about right now anyway.
No.
I do still want something either plug-in hybrid or electric as Haley's next car. She'll get to pick whatever she wants, and
that's nice of you, sir.
Well, it's not up to me. I know, but we've talked about it at length that's what we want because we have all this extra solar. So we've been like looking at just a few things occasionally. We're not ready yet, but nothing really bites that hard right now at what we're trying to do.
It's a weird market. We've also been having that internal conversation about cars for my wife and. You should add the my wife thing on there. That would have been funny.
Okay.
It's too late
now.
Let
me pull that up. I'll sneak it.
I said it and then I thought about it. I was like, man.
My wife.
There you go. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome. Sound effects, bye.
There's a hole, I think, in the like mid-size, like crossover SUV sedan market if you want something that's pretty efficient and also like not like a super base model car. You maybe want something a little nicer. Like, I'm not talking about like S-Class Mercedes, but I'm also not talking about a base model Civic kind of scenario or a Prius, right? Like, there's got to be like something just above that. Like,
I thought we liked the new Prius, though.
I love the new Prius. She hates it.
It's not plug-in.
Oh.
There is a plug-in.
Is a plug-in.
Yeah, you get Prius Prime.
Oh.
Yeah. And they drive great. They look great. The interior is very odd.
Yeah.
Priuses, they've always been that way. So, whatever. But,
So like the Hyundais and the Kias are coming out with stuff.
It's like
electric that are.
My mom has one. She loves it.
All electric or
no? It's just it's like an Elantra or not an Elantra. It's a Tucson, but it's like the N line or whatever. It's new. It's really nice. It has no business being as nice as it is.
Yeah.
But man, I just don't know if I want a Hyundai.
Yeah, I don't think I want an electric car. Is all new, And then also this company is kind of not known for their,
I guess,
you know.
Yeah.
Longevity.
I would flip that around. I think the Ioniq 5 is one of the best electric cars that's all electric that I've like visually, they seem awesome.
I like it a lot. I just don't trust it yet. It's not what I've been. Yeah. I'm not saying that they're making bad things. I just don't trust it yet. Yeah. I don't know why
that we're still in a spot too where, this is not a financial advice podcast in any way. Mm-hmm. So please tell me I'm an idiot when I am.
Take my money.
But I see most all electric vehicles right now as a lease option. Like I don't want to own it. I don't want to own it for a long time unless the case comes in where you can buy something secondhand that is outrageously cheap for what it is because it's depreciated so hard.
You were on a Nissan Leaf kick for a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Leaf. On the other end of that spectrum, you can buy a Taycan at like half price, which is really cool, but it's a really big risk. Like you have to be in a spot, I think, where you could do that and then lose it all in 5 years or whatever and be okay with that.
Yeah. That sounded like that was an on-purpose sound effect. Like, dun-dun-dun.
The lease option does make more sense. Like, it wasn't a thought that crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. But now that you mention it, it's like, that does make more sense, especially when for the automotive sector, this technology is still technically pretty new.
It's emerging.
And it's going to advance so quickly.
And it already is.
Do you really want like one of the early versions like forever?
Yeah.
Or do you want to like, I want to get in on the electric thing for a little while. And then when 5 years from now, when my lease is up and they've made more advancements that mm-hmm. make this new electric car 10 times better than the one I have, I can just swap them over and be in the new electric thing again.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a while before it's like where things are like a petrol car is now, where things are ironed out still, and you know like what you're going to get when you buy X brand and X model.
Yeah, yeah.
Like once that all gets ironed out, then you're more likely to be like, I'll actually buy it and hold on to it because it's proven that it's like a Camry. Sure. You know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
the other thing with especially electric cars, gas tanks have been figured out since the beginning. Batteries are still going insanely fast in the technology department. They are like leaps and bounds ahead of what they were. You can have less weight and more miles available already by a ton. Yeah. So range anxiety goes away and you're not worrying about things like that so much. And like, just to be flat about it, people aren't even talking about range anxiety at this point with new electric cars.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably charging too, right? Mm-hmm. Like as more places have more chargers, which it seems like maybe there's plateau that has happened there. There's like a spot where we've gotten to, but I think for most people, especially with a commuter, like there's not really an argument against that. Because especially if you can charge at home or at work, like that becomes so much cooler. Like what you're talking about, where it's like, it's either cheap or you're getting a solar charge or whatever. And then you just go into the gas station, whatever, keep it topped up and keep it at 80% or whatever and go. Like, who cares? The other cool thing about the lease thing right now too, Colin, is that all of the federal tax credits apply to leases. So you get a benefit. Sorry, everybody that hates the government. But you get a benefit from the government for doing it. And that's kind of nice. If you want to subsidize part of the cost that way. And then you also are not stuck with it forever. So in 3 years, you can say, here, have your car back.
Yeah.
Now you're paying for that and you're paying a little bit more for that luxury, but you're basically renting a car for 3 years, which is kind of cool, I think. Cool way to do it.
I've had leases and I've had purchases and it makes sense sometimes.
You've bought cars?
Yeah, one or two.
That doesn't sound like you.
For work.
Different times? Like more than once?
For
work.
What?
Oh. But yeah, so the lease option is always nice because like that Volkswagen didn't work out very well for me. It was not what I needed. It wasn't a good work vehicle for what I was doing. And so I was just like, all right, here, take it back. In a couple of circumstances, like the Jeep JL that I had, I sold it and I lost money on it. Not a lot, because it was a new enough rig and people were still into them enough. But there was that steering issue that I had and all these other problems, and I didn't like the service department and the way they were handling it. And I spent a bunch of my own money to redo the steering, and then they came out with a recall on it that I didn't get to do because I redid all my steering based off of it. And so there's a whole thing. But if it had been a lease, I'd have been like, I don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
The whole thing, yeah.
And I think these days are over, but there was a time where you could play the game just right, Tacoma.
Yeah.
And lease a vehicle and sell it for a profit. So it was possible for a while, but I don't think that's coming back for until we go into real economic collapse, and then maybe.
Yeah, but then you're, you know, looking
at it. Then there's the economic collapse part, which, tomato, I don't know.
Could be fine.
I did see, so the Leaf thing reminded me, there was an Autopian article recently. The
electric.
Oh, electric, got it.
Yeah, we're back on electricity.
One of the main people from that website had a Leaf that he had bought, like, he bought the cheapest Leaf and, like, did a series on it. And it had, like, 40 miles of range because it had dwindled itself down so far. Mm-hmm. And for his commute or whatever, it was fine. Like, that's kind of – and that's what I was thinking with the Leaf. Like, if I don't drive 40 miles in a day very often. And if mm-hmm. I do, I'm probably driving a vehicle that I want to be driving that far, not a Leaf.
Right, right.
That was his point. Then he goes through this process, and I don't remember what got him here, but he decided to sell it. Oh, he got an i3. He bought, like, a cheap BMW i3. So he goes to sell the Leaf.
The Leaf blower?
Yeah.
Okay. Blowing the Leaf away.
Yeah.
For this other vehicle.
This is one of those long ones.
They might be.
Okay. Well. You click that like four times, it'd be a disaster. He goes to sell it, and the problem becomes that no one can get it home because it can only go 40 miles. So he ends up like delivering it to a guy, and it takes him 2 days because he has to drive it. And he's like lives in LA, and he has to drive it to like the Inland Empire. So, I mean, it's like 60 miles took him 2 days because of the way that he had to do it. And it's got this old slow charge system. And like, it was this whole deal. The article is hilarious where he goes through it. So, you know, it's a great idea in a little bit of a vacuum where you're not really thinking about those kinds of things. And I thought about this when I was looking for them too, because they would come up in the valley and I'd be like, okay, I can't drive that home. I will have to trailer this $2,000 electric car home to use it. That's going to cost money. I don't know if that makes sense. But
yeah.
So, you know, I'll just get 11 miles a gallon instead.
It's just, it's coming. It's a matter of time before it's just a... Do you want a V8? Do you want a four-cylinder? Do you want an electric? Do you want a... It's just going to integrate into cars. And
I want a rotary.
That's gone.
You can't have that anymore.
Actually, Mazda is talking about making one.
I'm sad.
They always are. Yeah. There's always an RX-7.
Yeah, we got to hold on
predecessor
to that.
There's an RX-9, I think, is what they're talking about.
Yeah, it makes sense. Actually, I did... You might be thinking about this. I saw a thing about them doing a rotary hybrid scenario, and I was like, I don't know if that's
so it'll
a good
get
idea.
Like normal car mileage.
Yeah,
you still have to burn oil.
It's 22 miles to the gallon, and you can drive all of 40,000 miles before it blows up.
And then they'll have to make the battery serviceable too, because if you have to replace seals, you'll have to also put distilled water in your battery. I don't know.
Apex seals.
They gotta make it harder.
Battery exchange. Yeah.
Yeah.
Scheduled maintenance.
Yeah, we know you can do this without having to do all these issues, but we're going to build them in. Do you see that? Was it Toyota? I think Toyota said they're going to have a manual transmission electric car, and it's going to be all electric, everything with no actual transmission, but it'll be a like digitally controlled pretend manual transmission.
Interesting.
So that it feels like you're shifting, and you're not.
So, like the speaker,
I don't know,
the electric cars that fools people into thinking
it's just for enthusiasts.
IONIQ 5N is has a manual mode, and it allows you to, you know, just pretend it's manual, and it like gets people love it because it like gives you this like reference for like how fast you're going, and you can downshift into a corner and things that are not really natural with an electric car. So, kind of interesting, and it's like. I mean, it seems to be universally liked, which is kind of cool. So, might be onto something. It does not have like a like a clutch manual kind of scenario. It's paddle shifter, but
right. The next one is supposed to have like a, it's going to feel like a six speed and look like a six speed and feel like it has mechanical notchy gears.
I'm a little torn on that. I like the Hyundai way because I feel like it's kind of like this middle ground of like this thing. And what Smoking Tire, Matt Farah has talked about with that is like, if like companies like Porsche aren't paying attention to this, like, they'd be missing a market because there's a presumption that you could basically program the car to act like another car at that mm-hmm. point, because you can program the torque curve and all these things and the sound, maybe not outside, but maybe inside. So like,
yeah,
we're getting an electric Boxster. It'd be pretty freaking sweet if you could make that electric Boxster like for a fee, you know, work the same as some iconic Porsches in the past and sound like them. Yeah. It wouldn't be a manual in the way that you row gears normally, but through paddle shifting, it'd be pretty sweet. And I think people would probably pay a lot of money to have those experiences without
and
really
be able
having
to turn it off.
Yeah. And just go like, nope, I just want my video game
today. Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. I think it feels like two jumps in technology. Like, I've made this joke about Bluetooth tape adapters.
Yeah.
That's two steps. I think one step, I'm in. Two steps feels weird. Like, I don't know if I need to be Bluetoothing to a battery powered tape. That seems odd, but it works. So whatever. I don't know.
I'm not sure that I would be the right audience for that. I think
shopping those, you're just not cross shopping with your normal junk.
I just don't. It doesn't feel like to me. If I'm gonna go with the electric thing, I at that point have decided that that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I need the backwards compatibility. If I wanted that, I would go get, in my case, a Miata or something similar that I would enjoy in that way. But it's kind of cool that they're thinking about that. That means that there's somebody out there that's saying, all right, if we're going to be electric, yeah, we're going to care about the car people that were already in it.
Yeah.
So. But I mean, they already have all that stuff for simulators and racing games and all that stuff.
Sure.
It just plugs in, and it's something I don't think about a lot. Is
so Verstappen's going to buy one.
Yeah,
well, that's what
he's already got one.
Okay,
two of them. I would. It's just interesting that you could, in the way you're talking about it, you can program that car to be whatever you want it to be.
Pretty much.
Program it for a teen driver. You can program it because your wife likes not to accelerate so fast, or she likes it to accelerate faster, or who knows. There's a lot of cool stuff there. Grandma's eyesight's getting a little worse. The automatic braking needs to be better done. Like,
turn that up.
Maybe she shouldn't be driving.
Yeah. Well, after Dewey.
Speaking of auto braking, though, I had an auto braking experience on my drive home a couple days ago.
Oh, really?
That was fairly entertaining to me. Maybe not so much for the Tesla driver, but I don't give a shit about his opinion. So driving on the highway, you know, parkway between Bend and Redmond,
mm-hmm.
and I'm in the right lane because I'm not actively passing anyone,
right?
You know, as a normal person would do. And there's this Tesla that is in my blind spot, and I can only see him because the truck has one of the little bubble mirrors that, you know, the blind spot mirror. So I could see him there. So I would speed up. He would stay there. I would slow down to try and get him to pass me. He would stay there. So my only assumption here is that he had his adaptive cruise and it adapted to my car because there was no cars in front of him.
Hmm.
And here comes the bar road turn off that I take so that I can go around Redmond because I live on that side of Redmond.
Sure.
And I've done these things to try and get him to not be right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, I got to come over. So auto braking it is. And I just freaking turn signal and went right in. And then I see him like throw a hand up and get all pissed off. And it's just like, dude,
I've used
Tesla's. You're sitting in my blind spot and you've got auto braking. Therefore,
figured out, man.
You can figure this out. Like,
I've used Tesla cruise control to merge into places that I don't exactly fit numerous times.
Yeah. It'll
you're
let
like,
you in.
It'll break for me. It'll let me in. Like, I know that it will.
Yep.
And so I'm starting to move over, and it just kind of goes, and I'm like, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I know it will.
You know, in a perfect world where we're living in a society where people care about each other, that would be great.
It would just happen more.
That would just be great because, like, if you just knew that everybody's car kind of did that and you trusted it and they trusted it and they didn't think you were an asshole for just trying to go somewhere where they are,
mm-hmm.
man, that'd work out really well. That's not the way it works.
No, no. People suck. Most of us.
Yeah. I had a fun panic brake scenario that was not auto braking because, you know, Land Cruisers don't auto brake.
It doesn't have an auto brake.
I bet the new one does.
I bet it does. Yeah, it definitely does. Toyota Safety Sense. I was going to 80s on Edison to the meetup in the morning. Mm-hmm. And in fact, this is what it sounded like.
One of those.
I was thinking we should see if we can get Ethan on for a wrap up podcast. Mm-hmm. That'd be fun. So I won't talk about the event. But on the way, I'm going up by the old mill district. I'm driving like cresting a hill, and somebody had like panic stopped because there were people trying to cross the road. And I mean, allegedly, I might have been going 10 or 15 or 20 miles an hour over the speed limit because I drive this road very frequently, and it's not a good
40
excuse,
miles an hour
but,
speed limit. Yeah.
Yeah, but this is the speed that I drive on this road very frequently. Mm-hmm. And I saw that they were slowing down, but it just so quickly I went, oh my God, they're stopping. They're not just slowing down.
Mm-hmm, right.
So I grab a lot of brake on my vehicle, and I hadn't panic braked since I did all of my brake work recently, and it locked up.
Uh-huh.
Nice. And so I locked up and you got to make the noise. And I went to the side of them a little bit to not hit them because I know what my braking distance is and it wasn't going to work out. So I got, you know, I just went to the side and I don't even know if I actually got all the way to them, but pretty close. And there were people that were standing there and they were kind of like, uh-oh. And so we both stop. The people cross the road. And then the guy, he's like this older, I'm just going to say retired, but it's older guy, gray-haired dude, turns around, gives me a huge thumbs up and a smile.
Thanks like, for not
hitting
me. Good
job. You handled that.
And I was like, man, I think I needed that today. Yeah. That was a really nice little boost of confidence. Because I felt like a real idiot for a second. I was like, I can't believe I did this. But
yeah,
it worked out.
Yeah, we were in Yellowstone, and speaking of people crossing the road, there were some people about 15 feet away from the crosswalk, not even at, very
don't
far away.
Don't dare try to cross in a place that isn't the crosswalk if there's a crosswalk
they're
right
up
there.
To the crosswalk. Okay. They were 15 feet away. They were on a trail 15 feet coming up to where the crosswalk was, right? Yeah. So I'm driving in my truck, and I'm at the crosswalk, through the crosswalk, when they get to the curb and they run towards me and go, throw their hands up in the air like I did something wrong to them. And I'm like, if I'm driving over the crosswalk when you get to it, I don't think I did it wrong. No. I don't think you have the right to be mad at me. But they were very upset. So speaking of people in crosswalks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good. Crosswalks are like, they're one of my approaching middle age irritants.
Yeah.
Really get me. I really get so mad when somebody goes like, okay, actually, let me back up. I jaywalk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like whatever. It's a thing that I do. I get out of my car and I just go across the street. I don't go to a crosswalk, but I also am not waiting for people to stop for me.
Right.
I'm just running across or finding the gap.
Yep.
But when someone gets mad at me for not stopping for them, when there's a crosswalk, you know, an eighth of a mile down the street, I'm just like, I don't care.
Yep.
Not even a little bit. It's ridiculous.
I tell Miles all the time when we see people, he'll yell, they're jaywalking. And I was like, I know. And find the nearest crosswalk. And he goes right there. And I was like, if you can see it, you can use it.
Yeah.
And just over and over again. But my biggest irk with crosswalk people is the second group that like slows down and they're not going to cross. But then while that other person had made it most of the way across,
I'm going to go.
Then they start. Yeah. And you're like, if you'd have just left with that person, then you're just. Or the people that stand in crosswalks and aren't crossing.
Ooh, that's a good
just
one.
Just standing there and they're like maybe waiting for somebody and everybody stops and then they wave them on and then the next group of people stops. No,
you go.
Like,
no,
you're standing on the yellow block that says this is where I'm going. Let's get off of that.
Not good.
Old man rants.
I love it.
This week on the podcast. On the Campfire Passport podcast.
Oh, we never said it. You did it. Oh.
Love it.
44 minutes. 44 minutes.
Colin, did you know that?
No, I totally spaced it.
I thought about it like within the first 5 minutes and you guys hadn't done it yet. Man. And then I forgot all about it until right then.
That's a new record.
Oh, man.
Well, now that we're on the podcast, I have something to talk about.
Yeah, wow. Anybody got a...
Okay. Are you... do you have anything else, Colin?
What do you got?
I got something that I think is going to grind your gears depending on your mood.
I like grinding gears.
All right, cool. I could screen share this, but I think you maybe have seen it. Probably. Have you been like on the social media today a reasonable amount?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. I think you've probably seen
some.
It. Mike might not have. It might not have crossed his path. But...
Probably not.
So... We're going to bring up a thing that I think is going to make Colin mad, but I can't tell. He might actually not be mad about it. We'll see. And I have some thoughts about why he should or shouldn't be mad. Is that a grinding gear?
It's not grinding.
It's creepy?
Yeah, it's like a creepy gear. That's definitely not
what
I'm looking for.
What is this? And now.
It's weird that there's not like... grinding gears in here. That's
I think screeching tires could have worked a little bit. I don't know. All right. No. I'm still waiting.
If I can't get it in three tries, I think I give up.
You know what I'm going to do, actually? Keep trying.
Why are you trying?
He's going to pull it up so you can screen share it?
Yeah.
All right. No, I don't think there's anything in here that's... That's all I'm going to try. I'm not going to try anymore, except for this.
Ah, it's not even complete.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, cool.
All right, I'm going to share this video, which is a YouTube video, and I can skip, which is great. So you will see.
Go full screen.
So StanceWorks, which used to be a really cool website that Colin didn't love, but had a lot of great content.
It wasn't that the site I didn't
love. I know. There's a certain couple people.
There's a certain person that I'm that's in my visual spectrum right now.
So they and by they, I really mean Mike Burrows, started a YouTube channel a few years ago, and he's done really well with it. It's shot really well, and he has like, I feel like he's transitioned himself pretty well into being a YouTube guy. He's not like your normal influencer, but he's getting there in a good way, kind of. I don't know. Anyways.
Well, he's always been look at me, so.
Yeah. So he built a Ferrari 308 a few years ago. Everybody has seen this, I'm sure. And he kind of was, you know, just finished it. I think it's funny because as much as I like Mike, by the way, just to be clear,
thank you.
In case I'm somehow glad. Mike is listening, but
I am.
He's an all right guy, and I think he does some really cool stuff. He has had some things in the past that I do not agree with, but I'm sure that there's plenty of stuff that I do that he would not agree with, so that's totally fine. I think that's a two-way street.
Except for the fact that his opinion doesn't matter.
That's right.
Because he sucks.
But mine does.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. I like that implication. Oh. Anyways, he built this Ferrari. He put a K-Series Honda in it with a bunch of power, and he's blown like three motors up. Like he's only gotten a few clean like runs off with this car, and it really turned into this crazy track car. But it's beautiful, and I got to say, amazing craftsmanship on this thing, which was surprising to me because I'd only seen his E28 in person before, and when I saw this thing at SEMA, and I was like, whoa, you built a car, like a proper car. Anyways, he just came out with a video today that he bought most of the parts to build an F40, which is pretty crazy.
Oh.
So he did a little YouTube trickery, and this is one thing Colin's not going to like, but I think the overall build, you're probably going to say, that's kind of cool. I wouldn't do it, but that's kind of cool. That seems to be what I would think you would say.
Okay.
It's the thing that's going to grind your gears is he has this comment, like his title is "A Real F40, the most mental project you've ever seen begins now." And if you listen to it, it's just gonna make you crazy. But the overall point is that he's building a tube chassis F40 kind of race style build. Pretty cool. He does an interesting thing here though, where he, you know, he can't buy an F40, right? Like F40 is in the realm of people that can spend millions of dollars on cars, and that's Jay Leno, that's whatever. There's just, it's such an elite group of people that most people that have even really good YouTube channels, it'd be an impossible thing. So, and to buy a car like that and to quote ruin it by tube chassising it is just like impossible. But he's not gonna buy a kit car because That's stupid, right? Doesn't want fake things, blah, 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 blah. So what he does is goes out and buys an NOS front three-quarter of an F-40. So he bought the quarter panels, so kind of like two-thirds of the car, mm-hmm. quarter panels, doors, roof, and front clamshell, NOS Ferrari F-40 parts, brand new from a warehouse somehow.
Huh. Okay.
Then finds a used rear clamshell and lower like race GT1 like diffuser and buys that. He doesn't give all of the prices, but he hints at it being above $100,000, sub $200,000 to buy this stuff, I think.
Okay.
So this is what he's doing. And he's like putting it on a chassis table and they're building a frame around it and they're going to build some carbon parts to fill in. And he kind of goes over like, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that's not going to be F40. Like they're not buying $20,000 latches. He's going to build them, all this kind of stuff. And I thought it was really interesting because I, you know, the guy aside, the build itself, I think, is like this crazy dream build thing. And it's like a thing that you might think of like, you know, whatever, a shower thought or something where it's like, what would I do if I could, if I didn't have a budget and could build this wild thing? Maybe it's something like this. I hesitate to say I would call it a real F40, but I hesitate to say that I wouldn't call it a real F40. It's a real weird middle ground.
Yeah. At what point does your tube chassis car, you know, not the car that it is?
I don't know, but it's real parts and they're hard to find. It's super rare. So it's not like there's a lot of effort that went into making it as real as possible without having the whole car. And if you were going to gut it and rebuild it anyways, it's already on a steel chassis. It's already kind of like a tube chassis car. It's not a carbon monocoque or something like a newer supercar. So how different is it? The the little asterisk here is that he didn't announce what he was going to do for an engine.
Mm-hmm.
My
YouTube votes are going to determine what he gets in classic influencer status.
He said something like the engine is already like in process and it'll come out in a couple episodes, like, and I'll release what it is. But that makes me think he might have a Ferrari engine, that he might not be doing something really weird, you know, Honda engine or a, you know, whatever, an EcoBoost or something silly in it. Like maybe he actually said, all right, I'm going to put a F430 engine with a twin turbo setup or something that's like kind of in the realm. I have no idea though. I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I think that'll be the deciding factor. Like if it has something really weird engine wise, I'm going to be like, that's kind of a fake F40.
But if it's a rotary, you'd probably be stoked. I mean,
four rotor. It could be. I don't know. Like this is like, I think, one of those things I'm monologuing this entire thing. Sorry.
I like it.
I think this is also one of those things where like my opinion does not really matter because it's really not a thing that I care that much about, but I do think it's cool. And I think like even from that little shot, like where it's on the table, like I think aesthetically he's got enough style that it's going to look pretty cool. Because it's not going to be a silly Model A F1 looking thing. It's not going to be a chopped E28. It will be an F40 with race car stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean,
is this going to be a if you don't have something nice to say
it's
moment?
So not in my like. It's just so not on my radar at all. I think that I had seen the 308, but I didn't know. I knew nothing about it. I just looked like another 308 that somebody with money wanted to make it look more look at me.
Sure.
Because of the, you know, livery on it. But outside of that, it didn't do a ton for me.
I mean, you're not, not that any of us are Ferrari guys, but I don't think that's something you're necessarily staring at.
I'd wonder how much of the car has to be real parts for it to be a real car. That is the question.
Well, one thing's for certain is it's not getting registered.
That's what I was about to say. I think if you want to like get into the details of it, and this is a tricky one because it happens with hot rods a lot, and there are plenty of cars that I like that are called a Model A that are probably not registered as such.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's, you know, whatever. That's fine. But to me, I think that's the answer, Colin. Like, a car becomes the real car if it is registered as such. Okay. And that will not be registered as an F40. It'll be registered as a kit car or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it a kit car? Not really. Is it way better than a Ferrari or a Fiero kit car? Absolutely.
It's like a DIY kit car.
Yeah. I find that it's more like a really cool custom build. You know, like a Model A that is like, maybe it's a steel-bodied car that's on, you know, deuce rails and like has all these things that's not really what it started as, or it didn't start as anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm into that. Or a chopper, right? Like there's a bunch of choppers that are not really what they are. It's right. Just like a hardtail chassis with a, you know, panhead motor and this and that, and like you get a chopper, and it's really not a 59, it's a bunch of shit put together. Yeah. So that like transcends the it's registered as to me, because that's kind of what this is, but it's still not like it's not an F40. You can't take it to, you know, whatever, Amelia Island or Pebble Beach and be like, hey, check out my F40. They're gonna be like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, how have you burned? Yeah.
So I don't know. Now, if it has a proper F40 drivetrain, which I don't think it will, that would be the one thing where you're like, well, you get a little closer.
Considering who it is, I really doubt it.
Well, I just don't think that, you know.
It's going to have a Lambo V10 or something ridiculous, and you just gonna be like, oh.
I don't think that there are many people outside of like real serious car collectors who would never do anything like this that have the budget to throw that together. They just don't. It's just, it's like an unrealistic thing. And it's not even, it's money on one side and it's the scarcity of the thing on the other. Like, mm-hmm. it's just not.
Yeah.
On it's a, just, like what?
It's like a larger scale version of Joe Rogan bought a Z28 Nova and it uses Z28 Camaro fenders that they chop. So basically from the center body line, they put all Camaro Z28 body. And so is it a Z28 Camaro? It's not. Is it a Nova?
It sounds ugly as fuck.
Not great.
It does.
It's pretty well done.
I'm sure it's ugly as shit. That sounds terrible. That sounds absolutely terrible.
You know what's funny? I haven't listened to Rogan for a while. But all I can think of is how many times I've heard about his Corvette. He's got a 60s Corvette with like C5 underpinnings or C6 underpinnings. And like for 5 years, I listened to him bring it up every 3 podcasts about how it was the best modern old car. And he's not wrong. He's a legitimate car guy, but I just laugh every time I hear like a Rogan car thing. I'm always like, oh my God, come on. He's got a 964 RS, I'm pretty sure. So that's kind
of
cool.
He does have a couple of nice cars, but I looked it up. I didn't hate it. It's not as in your face as it sounds when you say it out loud.
It sounds like two really terrible things stuck together.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be in your face to be ugly.
Do you otherwise like Novas?
No.
So you're not gonna like it because it's a Nova.
Yeah, I don't like Novas or Camaros.
I kind of don't mind either one, but not. I don't know. Now, is it?
Pause. I know, right? It's an interesting deal.
Huh. All right. Well, I'll give it to you this. It's interesting because the body line has changed, and it's pretty much the same as a Nova otherwise, but it's got some more swoopy lines. It's all right.
Pretty wider was the reason that they gave as to why they did it.
Do you want to share the screen?
I can do that.
I found it on I was just looking through. My Google algorithm knows that I like cars, turns out, and put it up there as a thing that you might be interested in.
Generic old guy car. Honestly, Anyways, it's not like you, I don't think anybody that knew what was going on would actually notice what the heck was happening here, which sometimes is the best way to have something that's wildly custom. It's the kind of the design thing that doesn't take your eye away from what it actually is.
So. The subtle,
Yeah, it's cool. I can tell in the rear quarter. That's where I was like, something's weird about that. Yeah, because I saw the first picture and I was going to go, no, it's not.
Yeah.
And then I saw the quarters and I went, maybe it is. So whatever. It's fine.
But yeah.
It's got the side like shot with the wheels. It's got good wheel choice. I don't know what they are, but some big 5-spoke with a bunch of dish. It's kind of cool. That exhaust is terrible. I'm going to say that. And the center fill gas thing, I understand why, but I don't like. You just took kind of like this. Oh, you can't do it. That part of it. Yeah, dang.
Just delete the rear.
All right. Well, I really thought I'd get you a little more wound up about the F40, but I realize it's just so far out of your vision that you're just well, like, whatever.
It's just like, yeah, like, I mean, whatever. He's building it one piece at a time.
That's right.
As
Johnny Cash would say.
But just with expensive shit.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's really all it comes down to. So
what?
And I mean, F40s are cool, but F40s are cool because they're what they are.
Yeah.
And
I don't hate on somebody finding a way to get the thing that they want though without being able to afford it, because to me that seems like the most part of it that I can relate to, which is I can't afford to buy X, but I can build something and enjoy that. Usually, like, I'm not going to build the same thing in my case that I can't afford to buy, but I can build something that can do a similar thing or is in a similar vein.
It's an extreme money. It's an extreme version of that, and I appreciate that. That's pretty cool. That brings me to one thought. So F40 is like one of my favorite, at least, cars from our childhood, like supercars. Mm-hmm. What are your favorites? Curious. Like, if you had the poster, great. If you didn't, like, what's the poster car of that time? Do you have one?
I'm going to have to think about that for a second. Right. Colin's nodding. Colin
really shook his head hard.
Yeah. Let me see.
I'm expecting something off the wall from both of you. Mike's going to be like 91 Thunderbird SC.
You know, honestly, you're close.
I just want to
Callaway version.
Say you're the right.
Close. It's
it was the XJ220 Jaguar.
I love those too.
Yeah. That was for me, I literally did have a poster of that and was like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
I think mine was the why can't I think of it? It's the Fox body that was had suspension tuned by oh my gosh, I can't think of it.
Lotus. McLaren. Okay.
That was the one that
is
had.
Is it the wide body one, like the SVO McLaren?
Yep, and it's like a four cylinder.
That's funny because I just saw one of those on the internet today. Let me find it.
That's what I had on my wall. And I won't say that it stuck with me as that.
Like, obviously, you couldn't remember the name.
I know. It didn't stick with me as a hero car, but that's, I think, the only car poster I had on my wall. And it's like bright yellow. Caged and all kinds of stuff.
It's larger. I'm so sorry, but oh, why am I? I'll show it for Colin.
Yeah.
Share screen. This.
Riveting.
Yeah.
One of these. It's like a crazy wide body.
Yep.
Pretty cool for a Fox body. This is a 82 Mustang McLaren M81 GT Enduro DSO.
I mean, coming from Mike, I'm not surprised, but
right?
Nobody else would ever have said that, I don't think.
I had the poster. It was bright yellow. It was like, to me, I was a kid, and that's the poster that I had on my wall.
Yeah, that is not the McLaren people had posters of.
No. Not other people.
Yeah, I mean, F1 was around in our childhood, so especially just
remember,
yours.
Yeah, just remember I lived in Anchorage, Alaska. Mm. So my hot rod magazines had to travel across the ocean or Canada to show up. We were a little behind on just about everything.
Man, young Mike, dream bigger.
No way. I could only drive that for like 2 months out of the year. Everything else had to be four-wheel drive.
Yeah. I think F40 is probably my hero car from that time frame, but Porsche 959 is like the next one. I just think they're so cool.
If we're going next one, obviously it was Countach.
Oh, Countach is like also undisputably one of the coolest cars out of that era.
It was like Countach and then the Diablo.
Yeah.
Those were like the two, like everybody loved Lamborghini because of those two.
Those two, yeah.
They were flashy. They were well marketed and like available to see on magazines and TV shows and all that stuff. And then if you see one in the wild, you were just like, "Ah, that's so cool." Cause they weren't everywhere while still being visible to just about everybody somehow.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah. Everybody knows what it is.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of people that would look at those and either not know, well, especially Countach, they wouldn't know what it is exactly.
Yeah.
But at the very least, they're going to say, that's a Lamborghini.
That's a Lamborghini. Yeah. That is the Lamborghini that everyone is like, Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think,
whereas the Jaguar, people look at it and they're like, what is that exactly? Like, the people that know.
Yeah.
that's what it is. But
the sleeper of that time, as far as like crazy cars, is the Bugatti, the EB110.
Mm-hmm.
I love the look of those. But that, like, I don't even think I knew that existed until I was like 10. And all of a sudden I was like, whoa, what is this thing?
Yeah.
And it had been out for, you know, whatever, a long time. And obviously I wasn't paying attention to those very often. So
yeah. Well, it didn't get the same notoriety that the other ones did.
Well, and I was a little on the different side too, because most of the people around me were muscle car, trucks, that kind of stuff. Being in Alaska, that's just, it wasn't, nobody had a Lamborghini in Alaska because you couldn't take it places. The summertime, the roads were so bad because they got beat up all winter that you couldn't drive it. And then the wintertime was, you know, wintertime. So we just, it wasn't around. But a guy with a, you know, fastback Mustang or a Charger or a Camaro or things like that, they're up enough and they're off the ground enough and you could still drive them on occasion. So those were the things that were at our car shows. We just didn't have a supercar scene until I moved down here at 13 or 14.
I don't think I saw a proper supercar in the wild until I was that age, 13, 14, something like that. Like there were, I can't remember.
Yeah,
I saw
911. Sweet Home.
Yeah, Porsches were.
That's a thing that I saw. And I think that's part of like what kind of solidified that for me was that I got to see them and be like, whoa, this is special, but not that special.
I think the first time seeing that echelon of cars was Portland Historics.
Yeah.
And they were literally race prep versions. Same. of
that's right.
You know, like a old Ferrari or something like that. Like that's
you know,
that was
funny.
Like the first time I'd see those types of things was those.
I think that might have been the same for me because I would have been pretty young in my, you know, like 8, 9, 10.
Yeah,
preteen
area,
for sure.
Yeah.
And I would have known what they were, especially at least like been able to say like with a prancing horse, that's a Ferrari.
That's a Ferrari, yeah.
Sure, it's not a Mustang.
Different horse.
Yeah.
Darn. But yeah, I think before that I hadn't seen anything. And then like maybe after that, some other like, I can't even think of a car show where I would have seen anything like that.
Yeah.
So my uncle, when I was little, my uncle golfs a lot and he lived in the Portland area. And I think we went to some golf courses and I remember seeing nice 911s, but I just don't know if we saw anything. Like, I don't remember.
The poor man's supercar.
Yeah, or like a Jag, like convertible or something. Like not like an XJ or something. Like not a nothing. But then
maybe
I would have been
an
like
Aston
whoa.
Martin.
Yeah.
Like maybe.
Or like 10 Mercedes SLs.
Yeah.
But even then I would have been like, that's a cool car. I still think they're cool. Whatever. Cool.
The DB.
That was fun.
When the DB7. And then the DB9 were like the Bond cars for a long time. And that was, now that I know more about them, I'm like, oh, well, people aren't super stoked on owning them, it turns out, as much as it looked like James Bond was. But that was also on the level when I was a kid. It was just because I could see it. It was in the movies and it was available. But yeah.
DB9s are good cars. You could probably buy one. You sell that Ranger ears. They're not that expensive, and they're not that unreliable.
They're not $900 Ranger inexpensive.
True. That's true.
Yeah,
they're cheaper than your truck, though.
$900, and I drove it home. It was on like two cylinders. The guy's like, "I think one of the spark plugs might be going bad," and I'm confident that it has eaten a valve or two, and it also has a blown head gasket, and like it couldn't go. I was doing like 52, 53 miles an hour. And it was just slowing down regularly. Oh, boy. But I bet the Aston would have done better.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, would you pay money for this?
Ooh. I didn't.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I was ready to quit. And here
for
we
this
are.
Sound?
Yep.
Yes.
I'm in. Yes. Before the music is over.
Yes.
And let's close it on a high note.
Okay, yes. We've got a 1992 Volkswagen T3 Transporter TriStar Synchro 5-speed.
And Synchro does not refer to it having synchronized gears.
No, that means it's four-wheel drive, everybody, and it's got four doors also because it's a double cab.
I think that's my favorite.
It's a good
Volkswagen
price right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's currently bring a trailer, ends in 5 days, 17. So when you're listening to this, it'll already be sold.
I bet it goes 25 at least.
It's Ontario registration, so it's a Canadian vehicle.
What kilometers?
Oh, 92. Okay.
Yeah, 92 It's got some 205/80 BFG KM3s. So, you know, little guys, because it's a van.
Yeah.
Manual, but it does appear to have all the lockers.
Okay.
Because the synchros, you could get them with locking and non-locking diffs.
Okay.
Check that out. Check out that it's horsepower
got
a, figure.
Look at that. It's got nice for horsepower.
Nice. So I was hoping you were going to say that. It's the
factory 1.6 liter turbo diesel.
But the torques are there, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see.
It could be nice with a 420 torques.
What's the Carfax say on that thing?
Carfax?
Is it clean?
Carfax report, no accidents, and there is a one detailed record available.
Okay.
Oh.
So, my main thing was I was going to look and, oh man, there's a lot of
fold down sides. I love these things.
Yep, it's got the is it a tray bed? Sides. Yep.
Yeah.
Tray bed. I wanted to look at the dash and make sure it had all the knobs. Okay. So, it does not have all the knobs. So it has a center lock and a rear lock, but it does not have a front lock knob.
Still.
It's got the light in the dash.
Interesting.
But it doesn't have three knobs.
It's weird that they're one at each end. You'd think they'd have one in the middle and one to one end, but I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, that part is odd. I wonder if maybe they added the lockers and just placed them that way. But yeah, that appears to not have the front lock because that's the front diff right there, and it's a bad picture. So
yes,
they have these
aluminum ribs.
They have these like little black and blue vacuum boxes.
Oh, they're like vacuum actuated
on the side, and that's your locker actuator, and those knobs is what pulls the vacuum in and out for it.
So yes, I would spend money on that.
Okay.
Yep.
There we go. So that's two. I also would spend money on this.
Yeah.
These things are, as much as I don't want a van, these things are really cool.
Yeah, super rad. Being a tray bed is rad, like useful and
it's pretty unusual. Nice. Like overall, it really like is. It's a pretty clean example. It used to be white. And it's yellow now because they didn't jam it.
Well, it's hard to find, you know, a white van when you're out in the dunes in the Baja. You never know.
But yeah, I mean, these things are super rare. This price seems pretty reasonable at the moment.
Yeah, last one that sold that I saw was 52.
Yeah.
So this one will probably get this to will probably sub spike. 50, but still, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. It's a cool vehicle overall.
Yeah.